Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
God, Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to read you one verse tonight, and we've been just looking at some basic Bible things, and I'm going to deal with probably three messages on this. I'll try to get through the first one tonight, and I've dealt with some of this in times past. I told you that in a lot of what I was dealing with previously, there was a book that Dr. Stennett Blue wrote on basic Bible doctrines, and a lot of it came out of it. He also wrote a book. Anything that Dr. Stennett Blue wrote, I promise you, is absolute dynamite. He wrote one on basic, not basic Bible doctrines. What's the title of it? Bible Basics for Beginners or something other like that. And he's got a whole section in there on the will of God. And I've pulled some of this stuff out of that. Not all of it comes out of that, but a lot of it does. And I want to give it to you tonight. Look what the Bible said. You can remain seated. Ephesians 5, verse number 17 says this: "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." He says that you don't have to be unwise. You don't have to not know what the will of God is. And I want to begin talking to you tonight and over the next few weeks on Wednesday nights on understanding or knowing the will of God and knowing what the will of God is for your life. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes tonight, God, that you would help us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would call to our remembrance the things that we've studied, God. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts through your word. God, thank you, Lord, for the great memories. God, we could have sat here all night and talked about the souls that we've saw saved over the past 19 years, the lives that has been changed, God, the homes that's been reconciled, preachers that's been called. God, I thank you for every one of those, but God, we need you tonight, and God, we need you to continue saving souls and changing lives, and Lord, we pray that you'd do that. Help us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, he says that we can understand what the will of the Lord is. And I want to talk to you about that just for a little while tonight and give you a few thoughts on this. The most important thing in your life after salvation is knowing and doing the will of God for your life. Most people live and die without ever finding, much less fulfilling, the will of God for their life. Now, and I'll say this as I go on, but we know it's God's will for everybody to be saved. But after that, God has a will, a personal will for your life that he wants you to fulfill. The will of God is not something that is just for the super spiritual. The will of God is not something that is just for the preacher. The will of God is not something that's a super secret that God is hiding from you. The will of God is not beyond your understanding, because he simply says in the word that we understand the will of the Lord. I remember, and you've heard me say this before many times, but I remember one time I was praying about the will of God, and I was talking to my mama, and my mama said, "Son, the will of God is not a mystery. It's not something that's hard to understand. God will make his will known to you if you'll seek it." The will of God, now listen to this, will never take you away from the Word of God. The will of God will never take you away from the Word of God, and the will of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. I've had some people talk to me before, and they said they have prayed about things, and they really believe this is the will of God for them. And I've given them scripture that proved it contrary to the Word of God. Are you with me right there? And then I've asked them this question: will the will of God lead you contrary to the Word of God? It'll never do that. The will of God will not take you out of the Word of God tonight. Think about this: the will of God will never take you farther than the sufficiency of the grace of God. That's a good statement tonight. You ought to write it down. The will of God will never take you further than the sufficiency of the grace of God. The will of God means that God has a plan, God has a place, and God has a purpose for your life. Now, think about this. Knowing God's will requires surrender and dedication on your part. That's what it requires. And I want to say this to you tonight. Man, my wife and I was talking about this week. Man has a free will. God's not going to beat you over the head and make you do something. Matter of fact, Dr. Percy Ray said this, God will never make you live for him, but he'll make you wish you had have lived for it. And think about this with me tonight. Knowing God's will requires that we surrender ourselves to him and that we dedicate ourselves to him. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why did God save us? God saved us, and I had a note wrote down on that, and it's in a different Bible than what I've got right now. God saved us. I think this is what it said. If it's not, I'll say it this way. God saved us to serve him, and it's only reasonable that we do that. That's the reason we were saved. It was to serve God. You said, preach, I got saved to escape hell. I did too, but God has a plan for your life. God has a place for you to serve him. And boy, oh boy, that should excite us to know that. And to know that and to get in that, it requires that we present ourselves a sacrifice before God. Presenting one's body as a living sacrifice means to use my body and to use my life for the service of Christ. You must choose to dedicate yourself to Christ rather than to the pursuit of selfish desires. Can I say that to you again? You must. Nobody else can choose that for you. Nobody else. Hear me and hear me well. We make our own choices, but we also suffer our own consequences. Are you with me right there? You said, preach, I don't understand why some things is the way they are. It might have been because of the choices you made. Our choices have consequences. So listen to this. You must choose to dedicate yourself to Christ rather than to the pursuit of selfish desires. We must deny the flesh and pursue the Spirit. If we're going to know the will of God, if we're going to understand the will of God, we must choose to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow the Lord and to pursue the Spirit. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Galatians chapter number 5. He said this in verse number 16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me tell you the reason we make some of the decisions that we make sometimes. It's because we are not walking in the Spirit and we fulfill the lust of the flesh. I give an illustration teaching Sunday school the other morning. I'm not going to go back through all of it, but I did not walk in the Spirit. Now, y'all holler amen because some of y'all didn't today. All right? I didn't walk in the Spirit and I've done things I shouldn't have done. Are you with me? But if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're choosing to follow him, if we're choosing to lay our desires to the side and say, Christ, here's me. I want to know your will for my life. It takes us laying our life down and our selfish desires down and choosing him. Let me show you three things tonight about understanding the will of God. Number one, we must understand there is a printed will of God. There is a printed, right here it is. The printed will of God is right here. And I tell you something, any major decision in your life, God will give, I believe this in all of my heart, God will give you scripture to fulfill that. I can give you the verses that God gave me to come here. I can give you the verses God gave me to go with Rock of Ages. I can give you the verse that God gave me to marry my wife. God will reveal his will through the printed word of God. understand there is a printed will. By the printed will of God, I mean that which is written in the Word of God. If God put it in the Bible, it is our responsibility to divide the Word of truth rightfully and then do what the Bible teaches us to do. Again, the will of God will never, never, never leave you contrary to the Word of God. So there is a printed will. Think about this. In the printed will, you'll discover it is the will of God. Watch this. That everybody get saved. That every sinner get saved. That is the will of God. Can I say something? There is some things that we pray and we tell God our desires, and we pray this. God, I want your will to be done. When you pray for a lost man to be saved, you don't have to pray and ask God if it's his will. It's his will. You hear me right there? It's his will. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Timothy 2. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Hear me tonight. Every individual that's ever lived or ever will live, it is the will of God for them to be saved. It is the will of God. And can I say this? It don't matter who they are or where they've been or what they've done. If they come the printed Word of God way, I'm glad that He will in no wise cast them out. So there is the printed will of God. Understand that every sinner be saved. But watch this, that every saved person be separated. That every saved person be separated. He said, come out from among the world and be ye separate. Now, listen to what I'm going to say to you. We have to live in the world. There's no way not to live in this world. Well, there is a way, you die. All right? But if you're living, you're in the world. Why don't you hear me now? We do not have to live of the world. We can live in the world without living of the world. And according to the Word of God, God says in His Scripture for us to separate from the world. I need to preach here about an hour. For us to separate from the world. For us to be a different people. For us to be a peculiar people. That's what He teaches us. So in the printed Word, there is that every sinner be saved, that every saved person be separated, that every saved, separated person, watch this, be Spirit-filled. It is the will of God for you to walk in the Spirit and be Spirit-filled. That's the will of God. Listen to what He said in Ephesians 5:18. He says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but what? But be filled with the Spirit. But be filled. Listen to what I'm going to say to you tonight. That is not a recommendation. God didn't recommend that you do that. God commanded you to do that. God commanded you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen to this. If it's wrong for man to drink, and it is. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. It is. You know where I stand on that. Then it's wrong for man not to be filled with the Spirit. It's just as wrong for you not to walk in the Holy Ghost and in the Spirit of God as it is for a man to go get drunk. You can holler amen or oh me, but that's in the context. It's wrong tonight. So we note this, that in the printed will of God, we know that every person is to be saved. Every saved person is to be separated. Every saved, separated person is to be Spirit-filled. Every saved, separated, Spirit-filled person, watch this, is to be a servant of God. Is to be a servant. What did He say? He said in Romans chapter number 12 that we what? That we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. It is, I want you to hear me, it is God's will for you to serve Him. It's God's will. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to pray about that. It's the will of God. So number one, there's a printed will of God. Number two, watch this with me. We must understand there is a printed will of God. But number two, we must understand there is a personal will of God. The printed will of God does not change for anybody. It does not. The printed will of God is the same for every person sitting in this room today. The printed will of God. The personal will of God does change for every person sitting in this room. Not every person sitting in this room can be the pastor of this church. I mean, could you just imagine if it was Pastor Haley Newman? There'd be some things happen, wouldn't it, Miss Haley? But think about this. The personal will of God. The personal will of God means that God has a specific plan for you as an individual. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. That the God of heaven, that the creator of the world wants to use me. He has a plan for my life. He wants to use me. You remember when you used to play ball, you that did? Brother Jacob, you remember sitting on the bench and wanting the coach to put you in? That excitement that you had whenever he said, Jacob, go in. You remember that, man, you was in the game. Hear me and hear me well. The God of all glory is saying, get off the bench. I want you in the game. I've got something for you. I have a plan for your life. No matter how young or how old tonight, there is a personal will of God for your life. I wish I could remember the missionary years and years ago when we was in camp at Turner's Creek that said this. He was preaching on companionship and who you'll marry one day. And here's what he said. He said, God has a will for your life, you have a will for your life, and Satan has a will for your life. I'll never forget him saying that. There is a personal plan for your life. There's a personal plan, a will of God. Let me show you a couple things right here concerning your church. There is a personal will of God concerning your church. Now, can I say this to you? Your church should be a fruitful church. It should be a fruitful church. When I talk to people and tell them about people getting saved at our church and God blessing our church, and they say this, I can't remember the last time we had somebody saved in our church. Man, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? Hey, your church ought to be a fruitful church. Can I say this? Your church ought to be a church that is fervent in prayer. One thing that our church has always been known for, as long as I've been here, is a praying church. I can't tell you the people that comes up to me and says, hey, would you have the church pray for me? Would you pray for me? Why? Because we're known as a fervent in prayer church. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. If you're struggling with things in your life, I ask you, how much have you prayed about it? How much have you honestly fasted and prayed and sought the God of heaven over it? Your church ought to be a praying church. There's a will of God concerning your church. It ought to be a fruitful church. It ought to be fervent in prayer. But can I say this to you? You ought to be faithful to that church. Now, it's Wednesday night. Everybody ought to holler, amen. You're here. You ought to be faithful to the church. You ought to be faithful to the things of the church. You ought to be faithful to the activities of the church. Be faithful to the house of God. So there is a personal will of God concerning your church. Watch this. There's a personal will of God concerning your companion. I hope that our young people will come Friday morning, because I'm going to preach on that Friday morning, the will of God concerning your companion. There is a will of God besides getting saved. The most important decision I've ever made besides getting saved was who I married. And I'm going to tell you, man, she's one lucky woman. Y'all will get that in a little while. But I'm telling you, friend, that's an important decision. Young people, listen to me tonight. That's an important decision. And there is a will of God concerning your companion. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Here's my outline for Friday morning, because I know some of y'all won't come. Here it is. There's a proper pairing. Be not unequally yoked. You better make sure that they're not only saved, but they believe the way we do. That they believe the way that we do. that they believe the way that you do, that they divide the word of God the way that you, that they believe in going to the house of God the way that you do, that they believe in, I'm preaching good. Amen. There's a proper pair and there's a purposeful alignment. The yoke symbolizes working and walking in harmony, not tension. Marriage is a union designed for shared spiritual direction. There's a pursuit of righteousness. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Choosing a spouse should reflect a shared commitment to purity and godly living. Choosing a spouse should reflect a shared commitment to purity and godly living. That's good preaching. There's a profound communion. What communion hath light with darkness? True marital intimacy, spiritually, emotionally, and physically is rooted in a shared faith. There's a profound communion. But think about this. There's a prayerful consideration. You better pray about it. Somebody holler amen right there. Then there's a pledge of unity. I'm going to look at that concerning your companion. I'm going to look at that Friday morning. Y'all come and I'll preach it to you. Number three, there's the personal will of God concerning your career. Besides getting saved and choosing your spouse, I would say this is second and third and second. The reason I say second and third and second, because some people choose this before they choose a spouse. Are you with me? And I'm going to tell you something. The career that you choose, and I know that I am talking to young people a little bit, but everybody on this one, it's so important. It's so important because that career could have such an effect on your life. Understand choosing a spouse in a church is very important. But I'm going to tell you something. It's also very important that you understand the will of God for your career. You don't just go in it because you want to. You better pray about that. I'm preaching good tonight. If you're fixing to change career paths, you better pray about that, man. God has a will for your life. And can I just say this? Usually the grass is greener over the septic tank, so be real careful. The devil will paint a beautiful picture, and all it'll do is take you away from your spouse, take you away from your church, take you away from the Scripture, put you in an environment. I'm preaching good tonight. Who cares if you make $1 million a year? If you're never with your family, you're not watching your kids grow up, you can't go to the house of God, what is it worth at the end of the road? Solomon said, I had it all. He said in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, I withheld nothing from myself. And he said, when I got to the end of my life, I found that it was vanity and vexation of the spirit. That's what he said. Go home and read it. The career. Here's some things to consider when you're choosing a career path. Are you with me? Can I be faithful to my church? Can I be faithful to church? I understand Brother Aaron's a prime example. He left. Went outside to smoke. There he is. He went back a few seats tonight. Brother Aaron's a prime example. He's assistant supervisor with EMS. Miss Vicky was a supervisor with EMS. And they work 3 days on, they work 1 day on, 3 days off. I mean, that sounds pretty good, don't it? That 2 days a week. What's that, like 10 days a month? But anyway, watch this. There's times that he has to work on Sunday. And we've got nurses in here tonight. I completely understand. My daughter's a nurse. I completely understand that. And she tries her best to work it around where she don't have to work on Sundays. But that's just sometimes you have to do that. But if you go into that job and you know that the majority of the time it's going to keep you out of the house of God, think about that. We're talking about the will of God for our lives tonight. When concerning your career, think about this. Can I be faithful to church? What about this one? How much time, it's just practical things, how much time will it take away from my family? How much time will it take away from my family? Madeline's fixing to get married. The last vacation we went on, unless her and Mason bust up, that's the last vacation that she's going to go on with us. I talked about it while he was gone, and she got mad at me. And I said, I ain't the one that chose to marry the redneck. You are. You with me? Seems like yesterday. Seems like yesterday, Olivia was just a couple months old, and we come to Amazing Grace Baptist Church. She's 19 years old now. She's 19 years old. I promise you, your kids will be grown and gone one day, and you'll wish you spent more time with them. Are you with me? So think about that. How much time will it take away from my family? What about this one? What is the work environment? What's the work environment? What kind of people am I going to be around? What kind of people am I going to be around? I promise you, that has an effect on you. That has an effect on you. It really does. Think about this. I just done some studies, and here was one of the studies that I done, Brother Justin. I searched case studies in law enforcement, and I searched this out, and I asked the search engine that I was on, does a narcotics officer, based off of case studies, does a narcotics officer have a higher risk of career damaging issues compared to a general officer? And it was significantly higher to a narcotics officer. And here was the reason why. Because of the clientele that they're around. I want you to listen to me. You hear me. You are right now, or you soon will be what your friends are. When you're working with them, now don't everybody go out and quit work tomorrow, okay? We got to pay this building off. But I understand what I'm saying. Think about that, especially you young people that's starting a career path. Think about that. Here's another good one. What's the divorce rate in the field that I'm going into? You said, but I'm a Christian. What's the divorce rate? Christians divorce too. What's the divorce rate? So there's a will of God concerning your church. There's a will of God concerning your career. There's a will of God, can I say this, concerning your companion. So we understand that there's a printed will. We understand that there is a personal will of God. I want you to see this last of all in closing. It's 7:57. I'll be done in just a minute. We must understand that there is a progressive will of God. There is a progressive will of God. The progressive will of God means this, that we are to be progressing in our Christian life every day. It is the will of God for you to grow as a Christian. It is not the will of God. I want to ask you tonight, how long have you been saved? And I want to ask you this, are you closer to God tonight than the night you got saved? Do you know more about the Scripture tonight than the night you got saved? Is your prayer life greater tonight than it was, let's just say, than it was 2 months ago? Is your fasting life greater now than it was 3 months ago? Is your dedication to reading your Bible greater than it was 3 months ago? If all the answers is no, you're going backwards, man. You're never holding your own. When I hear churches say, preachers say, well, we're holding our own. No, you're not. You're going backwards. If you're not growing, you're dying. You can say amen or oh me, that's the truth. If you're not growing, you're dying. Because guess what? If you never grow, one day everybody be dead and there won't be no church. It is God's will. Madeline, will you come start playing softly? For us to progress. The progressive will of God. He wants us to mature. He wants us to mature. Understanding the will of God. Understand this tonight. There's a printed will of God. It's right here. The personal will of God and the progressive will of God. This is what I'm going to say to you. You'll find it in the printed will of God. You'll find it right here. Amen. It's right here in this book. Understanding the will of God. Understanding the will of Father.